we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we have made it to Friday here in Brevard County, November the 4th. I remember when I was going to school, two of the kids in my elementary school both had birthdays on November the 4th. Don't ask me how I remember that. I just remember that. And they weren't related. So not a big class, probably 30, 35 kids, and two of them had November the 4th birthday. So my name is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. If today is your birthday, happy birthday. If it's not, wish somebody a happy birthday, but may put a smile on their face. So I want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our weekend worship services that are coming up this Sunday. Sunday night, we have prayer followed by our annual chili cook-off. We have our Sunday school, our Sunday morning services, all of that's coming up. Sunday morning, 9:30 Sunday school worship service and children's church starts at 10:30. And come and be a part of what God's doing. It's been a really great month, and we've been looking back and seeing how long it had been since we had experienced the type of month that we had in October. And it went all the way back to 2005. You see, in 2006, 40% of our congregation scattered across the country. A lot of military transitions. We lost 20% in one day. And you might have had some setbacks in your life, and I want you to know those setbacks don't have to be fatal. They don't have to be final. You just work with the process, stay faithful to God, and allow Him to restore that which has taken place. And I've got, you know, all the confidence in the world that God can cause your latter days to be greater than your former days because of what it promises in the Word. So come be a part of our services this week. We look forward to seeing you there. Also want to give a huge shout out today to Wyrick Air Heat and Electric. They are based in Rockledge, Florida. They travel all throughout the county. They do regular homes, mobile homes, their air, their heat, their package units or non-package units. They do electrical repair. Listen, just a week ago, they did a marvelous job on our home. They did upgraded everything, and we were just overwhelmed with the efficiency with which they operated. They are a blessing to the body of Christ, and I encourage you that if you need anything done with your air conditioning, your heating, or your electrical, that you give them a call. I can testify that they do excellent work from a personal standpoint. And so I encourage you to check them out. Their phone number that you can reach them at is 632-9538. Don't delay. Give them a call. 632-9538, area code 321. Let's get back to the Word today. We are going to be in Isaiah, the 49th chapter. And I went back and after yesterday's broadcast and started looking over this passage. I've looked over it numerous times and saw something in chapter 49 that I had never seen before. And so I don't know if I'll share that with you today. I'll share that with you probably next week. But it has to do with the process that God uses to bring about the reality that He has already declared by His Word. Let's look at verse number 7 today, shall we? Isaiah 49, verse number 7, it says, "Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors, to the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, and He has chosen you. Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people, to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages, that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. So that's where we're going to end the reading today. I am of the persuasion that this particular stretch of passage is messianic in its declaration. It refers to him, capital H in my Bible, to the servant, as a capital S. Kings shall arise and princes because the Lord who is faithful, and he has chosen you, capital Y. And so I want to share today with you from this aspect of what Christ has done for us and what we can expect because we are joint heirs of these same promises of God. So this is to the, thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, their Holy One, to him whom man despises, to him whom the nation abhors. There is no one on planet Earth right now despised more than Jesus. I mean, here in America, our evangelist last week, he said, basically, Christians are one of the only categories of people in America right now that you can legally discriminate against. And it all has to do with the fact that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. And so I want to encourage you today that just because man has one attitude towards Jesus and towards his followers does not mean that God is also inclined in that same mindset. Because it goes on to say, the servants of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship. And I do want to remind you that the Bible says that every knee shall bow, not just the peasant class or not just the working class, but also the political class, the kings, the queens, the princes, the princesses, the monarchs, and every level of dignitary. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. See, I am just crazy enough to believe that the Bible means what it says. It says, all of this will be done because of the Lord who is faithful. So we've talked in previous days about the necessity for us to be faithful. I want to remind you that God is faithful. And because of these things, that faithfulness manifests in certain aspects that we're going to talk about in verse number 8 and 9. Let's just get to the first one. In an acceptable time, I have heard you. God is faithful to hear us when we pray. He is faithful to listen to us. Now, I don't think that I'm probably the only man in Brevard County who has been in a conversation with their wife when they were multitasking. My ears were actively listening, but my hands were doing something else. My eyes might not have been looking directly at her. And you know, that would birth the question, are you even listening to me? And then I will go on and I will be able to tell everything that has gone on in the conversation. And then the conversation will turn and, would you please just focus on me for just a moment? And then at that point in time, you drop everything that you're doing. Listen, when your spouse is saying, I would like you to focus on this moment with me as if it is a moment that will never be replaced in the history of mankind, then I believe that we should make the wise choice and focus our attention on them, and probably should do that on a regular basis anyway. But God, it says here, God will be faithful to hear the prayers of Jesus. Like I said, I believe this is a messianic passage of Scripture. And so when Jesus prayed, the Father heard. And because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ, when we pray, the Father hears. Now, there are some prerequisites that we need to focus on when it gets to this matter of prayer. And that is, first of all, you're not just supposed to pray vain, repetitious words, just like hitting the play button on a CD player or a tape recorder, if you're old like me. You're not just supposed to hit the play button like on your iPhone or your smartphone where you've got video or audio and you're just wanting it to play, you need to be in heart to heart or spirit to spirit communication with God. And when we do that, when we cry out to him, he is faithful to hear. The scripture also says that one of the stumbling blocks to prayer is if we ask double-minded. We ask, but we really don't know what we want. With one breath, we say we want this, and with another breath, we say that we want that. You know, when I turned 16, my parents already had a car for me. I didn't know it. I thought that it was a car that they were driving, and in actuality, it was a car that they had purchased for me. Or we had purchased together. I just didn't know it yet because they still had control over the money. And they said, we almost didn't give this car to you because you had talked about a different car so much that we didn't know if we should give this one to you. And so I think that a lot of times that we get that same way with God. I remember a conversation that I had with some people. This goes back probably 21 or 22 years. And they came and in a matter of about 7 or 8 days, maybe 10 days, they came and they said that they felt like God was doing or was calling them to do 3 different things. All 3 of them were completely different than the last conversation. They were going to go and do this, they were going to go and do that, and they were going to go and do something else. And I don't remember which one of the 3 they actually did in that order. But listen, when you are praying, you need to ask God, what is your will in this situation? And God, anything that's not of your will, shut the door. I don't want to be asking double-minded. I don't want to be asking in doubt, hoping that something good is going to happen. I'm not going to be asking just because of the desperation of my need. I need to be asking in faith. It is those things that we ask the Father in the name of Jesus when we ask in faith. That's what we can expect to receive. And the last thing I want to share with you about this matter of praying and God being faithful to hear us is he wants to make sure that we are not at odds with our spouse or anyone else. He said, if you are a husband and you are in disagreement with your wife, those things hinder your prayers. I don't know about you. I don't need anything else hindering my prayers. I need things accelerating or assisting my prayers, turbocharging my prayers. Those are the things that I need. Jesus said that if you are at the altar and you remember that somebody has something against you, you need to go and rectify that situation before you come and pray. We need to be a lot more intentional about our prayers being in the manner in which God wants them to be prayed. And then the next thing that it says here in verse number 8 is, in the day of salvation, I have helped you. When Jesus died upon that cross, I want you to know that heaven and earth, or that heaven was assisting him. He received divine strength by an angel while he was up on the mountain praying before he was arrested. He was strengthened. The scripture records that there were armed angels at Jesus' beck and call, waiting for him, that if he gave the order that they would come and deliver him. That's the type of help that was available for Jesus. And so today I want you to see that God is a saving God. He is a God who is there to help. The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, the Comforter, one who is called alongside to help. God hasn't just set you on this path and said, go to it, have at it, and I really hope you make it. He's not that type of God. He's there to help you along the way. I told you on a previous broadcast that last week I went to a funeral. It was over in Lakeland, and another minister friend of mine went with me, and a person told us on the way over there, said, you've got a light bulb out. And so after the funeral, we went and we changed out the light bulb. Now, this is a vehicle I've not had very long, and it wasn't configured with the tail lights the same way that any other vehicle that I had been configured. And so I asked the brother, I said, hey, would you mind going with me before we make the trip home? Let's go over here to the parts store, buy the bulb and see if we can't change this. And I told him afterwards, I said, you know, I was a lot more emboldened to tackle that project. I had all the tools that were necessary. I said, I was a lot more emboldened to tackle this project because you were with me. Not that I'm the worst mechanic in the world, but you can ask the men in my church, I'm not the best mechanic in the world. And when I've tried to tackle things in the past, I've ended up taking parts off that didn't need to be taken off. They looked like they did, but they actually didn't. And so on that day, I said, you know what? Because there's somebody there to help me to avoid making a mistake, or if I do make a mistake, can help me correct it. I was emboldened to tackle something I've never tackled before. What could you do today in your spiritual life if you knew that God was there to help you and that you couldn't mess up a situation so bad that God couldn't fix it? You couldn't be so bewildered that God would be bewildered. What would you attempt to do? Do you think that you could attempt to read the Bible through, even though you might not understand? The Bible says that the word is spirit and it is spiritually discerned. So you, when you read the word, you need the Holy Spirit to help you to understand the word that is coming forth. And so salvation is not just about getting your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but also the fact that you have a new ally, that God is for you, not against you, and he's there to help you. Number three, he says, I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people. This again speaks to me of Jesus. He says, I will preserve you. No matter what happened on that cross, it was not going to destroy the body of Jesus Christ. It was going to cause him to die, but that death was not going to be permanent. I'm very excited about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm going to give you as a covenant to the people. One of the ways that the 27 books of the New Testament are referred to is the New Covenant. The Old Testament being the Old Covenant, the New Testament being the New Covenant. Jesus, on the night that he was arrested, he celebrated the Passover dinner with the disciples, and he said, I've longed with fervent desire to celebrate this Passover with you. And he says, I establish a new covenant with you. It was basically a spiritual marriage proposal. He established a covenant in his own body, that his body was going to be broken and that his blood was going to be shed to establish this covenant, and that he would fulfill all of the requirements of that covenant. You see, the problem with the old covenant is we could never live up to all of its requirements and all of its expectations. When Joshua stood with the people and he said, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. They said, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to serve the Lord. And Joshua looked at him and said, you can't do it. It's not within you. There was only one person who could fulfill all of the requirements of the law and the prophets in absolute perfection, and that was this God-man named Jesus Christ, who fulfilled all the law and fulfilled all the prophets and established a covenant of grace with you and I. Jesus was given for you. The purpose was to restore the earth and to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages. Okay? So Jesus was preserved and Jesus was given. God was faithful to preserve and faithful to give this covenant so that you and I could be restored, that we could be refreshed, and that we could occupy the inheritance that God intended for us to have all along. A friend of mine posted a picture on Facebook not too awful long ago, and it showed a picture of all the closed churches in the city in which he lives. Churches that were once open and vibrant, houses of praise and worship and the word of God, many of them are now shuttered and closed, dilapidated and deteriorating. And he's gone to that city to plant a church. So, you know, I think that when you're looking at a church that's been there, you know, there's somebody that can come in. You see, I believe that God is interested in building churches, not closing churches. And so we believe in growing. We believe in maturing. We believe in discipling. We believe in the word of God going forth. The last thing that it says here in verse number 9 is that you may say to the prisoners, go forth, to those who are in darkness, show yourselves. Jesus came to set prisoners free and to change the atmosphere of those who were living in darkness. Prisoners, go forth. In Malachi chapter 4, one of my favorite passages of scripture. It reads a little bit different in the NIV. Verse number 2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed cattle. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day that I do this, says the Lord of hosts. I believe the NIV says something like, you shall go forth like calves released from their stalls, or something like that. They go forth rejoicing, kicking up their heels. I've been around enough cattle to know that whenever they are penned up and confined, that when they are granted access, they just can't wait to get out. I don't have cattle here in Florida. They don't let that in a 100 by 100 or 70 foot lot or 125 foot lot or however long it is. It's just a real 0.17 acres or something like that. They generally don't let you raise cows in a neighborhood. But I do know this. My daughter has a dog that was born to run. And when she gets to go outside and she gets to just have the time of her life in the backyard, it is so much fun. She says, this is what I was born to do. I was born to run. You were not created by God to be a prisoner. You were not created by God to be a servant to government. You were not created by God to be a servant to the lender. You are not created by God to be servant to your sinful passions. You were created by God to be set free and to walk in fellowship with Him. So today, I want you to hear that God wants to deliver you. He is faithful. Just as faithful as He is to hear your prayers, He's faithful to help you. He's faithful to preserve you. He's faithful to give you purpose, and He is faithful to set the captives free. If you're dealing with an addiction today, I just want you to cry out to God and say, God, I want to thank you that you are faithful to set me free from this stronghold of the enemy. If you are battling a chronic illness today, I want you to stand in faith and say, God, I want to thank you that you are faithful to be my healer. I want to thank you that you do not want me imprisoned. You want me mobilized and empowered to be your witness. To those who are in darkness, show yourselves. On Tuesday, we are going to know something. We are going to know where America stands where it comes to light. Because there's a whole lot of stuff that has been done in secret that has been meant to be concealed. Great efforts have been made to conceal them, and yet they've come to light. And people, you know, when I first became a pastor, I found that whenever things that were done that people didn't want to know that had been done, then they would begin to argue about the process by which the light had penetrated the darkness. And it's like, what is the problem with the process? Why is the process more important than the disclosure of what the reality of the situation was? Today, I want you to know that God wants you and I living in the light, reflecting the light, and pushing back the darkness. I pray that whatever light you have, that God will take that and he will grow your understanding of the word, that his presence will radiate out of your very being, that when people encounter you, they will know that there is something different about you. Listen, if you have been a person who's done a lot of things that you are not proud of, and God has set you free from that and radically changed your life, people are going to notice, what happened to you? Why? What happened? You are so much different. This is such a better you. Listen, God never does something in a person's life that he wants it to be concealed. He wants you to be like a candle on the top of a hill, bringing light to the entire community. Jesus is the light of the world. He is the one that the darkness cannot overpower. We're going to know next week whether men still love darkness or if they are ready to change course, to change direction, and whether they are going to pursue a light of life. Now, I don't know that we're going to get there all at one time, but I tell you what, every journey begins with one step. Did you know that from Brevard County, Florida, you can literally get to any place in the world? Doesn't matter whether it's north, south, east, or west. It all begins with one step. Don't put it off today. Begin that journey with the faithful God. He's faithful to hear your cry. He's faithful to help you. He's faithful to save. He's faithful to preserve. He's faithful to set people free. And he is faithful to bring the light of God into your reality and change that. I don't want to be living like a bug, clinging to the darkness and hoping no one turns the light. I want to live my life in such a way that it doesn't matter whether there's a flashlight or a spotlight on me, I'm going to reflect the love of Jesus Christ. God bless you. We'll see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming. Well, I know that I don't deserve it. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing. Save me from those things that might distract me. Please take them away to purify my heart. Don't want to lose the eternal for the things that are passing. Cause what will I have when the world is gone if it isn't for the love that goes on and on?